so easy to preach after that. You know, it's true that the blessed, I feel like I'm on the night bus. Hey, night bus. It's true that the blessed sacred memories will be cherished through the years. I met my wife in this room. Annie, can stand up once again. My wife, good wife Annie. I met her here. And you want to hear about it real quick? All right. I had a friend that I worked with. He said, you know what, Robert? There's a girl on my bus route. You ought to date her. And I said, I want to see her first. I want to see her first. So he said, I'll pull her out tomorrow in chapel. So I came to chapel. He's like, that's her. And I'm like, wow, she must be spiritual. Okay, I'll do it. So the next day, they were going to have an indoor soccer game in the gymnasium. I'll never do that again. And so I asked Danny, I was going to ask her out. And I was waiting in chapel for her, and she came in. And I was shaking like a leaf. And as she came in, I said, are you Annie Gomez? She said, yes, I am. And I said, and she said, what? And I said, what? I got a hold of myself. I said, would you come with me tomorrow to the indoor soccer game? And she said, yes. Said, yes, and the rest is history. But in this room, I met my beautiful wife. We're both graduates of Ohio University College. I'm from Chicago. I am a bus kid. Very proud of that. And let's go quickly to Lamentations chapter 1. Lamentations chapter 1. And such an honor to be here with many people that have trained me, worked with me, scolded me, helped me. And just a real blessing to stand before you. And I feel very honored and very humbled to be here. But I'd like to help you. I love you guys so much. I'm so glad you're helping me reach my hometown, Chicago. And also this whole area. I have family in this whole area now. But I thank you very much for that too. Lamentations chapter 1. And do you guys usually stand or sit there? I don't know what you guys do. Okay, stand up. Stand up. Okay, Lamentations chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 12 through 16. You guys can accompany me with the odd verses, and also verse 16 we're going to read all together. Lamentations 1, 12 through 16. You're going to read with me the odd verses, and verse 16 we'll also read all together. The text is verse 16. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me. Wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above he hath sent fire into my bones, and prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back, he hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreathed and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up. The Lord hath trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. And verse 16 with me. For these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. I want to preach to you about the sermon. Where is the comforter? Where is the comforter? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, let's pray to give me clarity of mind. God, I'm just so excited to be here, so anticipating this day to speak to my fellow students and people that have trained me to just help them. And God, you know, I can't do that. I'm just a mere man. But Holy Spirit, pray to speak through me to your people. And just let me be a blessing. Let's all do is be a blessing this morning. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. And you may be seated. God hears the cries of the people all around the world. And God calls us to answer their cry. I'm going to read some verses real quick. Don't turn there for time. It says in 1 Samuel, and the men that died not were smitten with emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Talk about the Philistines. It said the cry of the city went up to heaven. Later in Genesis, talking about the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God said, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. God said the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah went up to heaven, and God heard the cry. And I believe it was Lot's job, maybe Abraham's job, to do a work there and get people saved. And God said the cry went to heaven. I'm going to go there and see whether or not they have answered the call. They have answered the call. God hears the cries of the people all around the world. God hears the cries of the children. God hears the cries of the children. As I mentioned, I'm from Chicago. I was born in Cook County. And I lived in Canaryville when I was a little kid. It was Route 103. I don't know what route it'd be now, but Canaryville there in 4409 South Emerald. And I remember that my sister went to church first. They reached my sister. My mom wouldn't ride the bus. My mom thought it was kind of far and she didn't want to go. But I had a teenage sister that was getting into some trouble. And my mom said, okay, I'll let my sister go. My sister started going. My cousins went, the Longs over there on, I can't remember the streets, but over there in Chicago too, Dana Long. And my sister Oliva started riding the bus. And my mom noticed that they were making changes. My sister stopped doing some of the bad things she was doing. She changed her way of dress. And then my sister started soul winning. And then my sister wanted to go to City Baptist School. And my mom said, wow, there's something going on at that church in Indiana. That's something special in that church. So my mom decided she was going to ride the bus with me. So I remember the first time I ever got on the bus, I was 5 years old. I remember like it was yesterday. I remember looking out the windows of the bus, and I thought I could see the plants blooming, the flowers blooming before my eyes. I just knew something was going to happen. I remember going there I was in Junior 1C. I remember my first Sunday school teacher, Brother Pat McGraw. I still remember him teaching. I remember him teaching about the days of creation. He made some drawings of the days of creation, him teaching us. He told us, don't flip through your Bibles in church. Keep your Bible closed. He said, the devil can use the Bible, so keep it closed in church. I remember very well my first high school teacher. I was 5 years old. I remember Brother Pat McGraw. I remember the preacher preaching. I didn't know his name, but I remember preaching about heaven, preaching about hell, and giving the altar call. I remember when I was 5 years old, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. God hears the cries of the children. I was just a little kid up there in Chicago, very fearful, very nervous, very introverted, but God heard my cry. I remember who came to our house. It was two lady bus workers, two probably teenagers here, students of Hiles Anderson College, Miss June and Miss Roxanne. I don't know where they're at. I don't know where they went. I don't know if they won a prize. I don't know if they got a prize for bringing me or not. I don't know. I don't care. All I know is that they came to our house and invited us to church. My sister went first. Then my mom took me, and I got saved. I remember I had a friend named Ernest Merritt on the same bus route, Ernie, and he came to my house one day, and he said, Robert, you want to go soul winning? Now, bear in mind, I was five, mine might have been six by then. He said, you want to go soul winning with me? I went, what are you talking, what's that? He said, just bring your Bible, come with me. So I got my Bible, went to my neighbor's house, he knocked on the door, and my neighbor opened the door, you know, looked out, and then looked down, oh, it's me and my friend. And Ernie looked up and said, mister, do you know if you die today, you go to heaven? And he just shut the door. Okay, thanks, okay, Robert, okay, yeah. Shut the door, went to the next house. Same thing. Ernie knocked on the door. They came out. And he said, mister, do you know if you die today, you go to heaven? And he just kind of laughed and shut the door. Okay, kids, go along and play. And we went down the whole block like that. And that just inspired me. Wow, you can just walk down the street and tell people how to go to heaven. It's just so easy to go to heaven. And I can just tell people about that. So I said, I'm going to do it at my school. I got my Bible. I went to my school. I went to Graham School over there. I think it was 43rd and Hall. I think it's still there. But I went to Graham School and went to the playground. And walked up to the first kid, opened my Bible. I said, do you know if you die today, you go to heaven? He said, no, I don't. I didn't know what to say after that. I didn't get past that point with Ernie. But I said, you need to ask Jesus to come in your heart. You need to ask Jesus. That's all I knew. But God planted something in me as a little boy. And there's all kinds of kids all over the world looking for somebody. The Bible says, for these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. Where is the comforter? Maybe he never went. Maybe he didn't answer the call. Young people, be careful that you don't lose sight of your calling here in college. Amen. Don't lose sight of your calling. There is no place closer to heaven in the universe than First Baptist Church, Hiles Anderson College. It's like the millennium here. It's like heaven on earth. I remember my days in college, just glorious days. And it'd be very easy for you to decide, you know what? I know I'm supposed to go to India or China or Mexico or Puerto Rico. But right here, I'm so comfortable and here with God's people and surrounded with good preaching, I think I'll just stay. It'd be very easy to do. And I saw many young people who started with me with that same vision to go out in the world and preach the gospel. And I don't misunderstand. If God wants you here, you should be here. You should be here. Of course, that's right. But people that came to answer the call to go somewhere, that poor person crying out, and they just stayed. They got comfortable. They got comfortable working their job, making 15 $20 bucks an hour, coming to this great church, the greatest church on earth, First Baptist Church, and got so comfortable, decided, you know what, we'll just stay. Don't lose your call. Don't lose your burden. The Bible says that the world is crying out for somebody. Somebody just love them a little bit. Don't forget about the children. Young ladies on the routes, there's teenage girls, there's young girls, and they put on a facade that they're very hard, but the truth is they just want somebody to love them. And you men, there's some little boys and there's some teenagers that they'll go out soul winning with if you just ask them. Take them out soul winning with you. Take them out, teach them how to preach the gospel. Don't lose sight of your calling. Don't become so comfortable that you don't do what God has called you to do. Don't become too comfortable. I remember when I was a child up there on the routes, visiting for the people. My bus captain would take me with him sometimes to visit the people, and it just amazed me that he would care for people and that he would reach people, and he was showing me how to do it. But where is the comforter? The Bible says the comforter is far from me. Where is he? Maybe he never went. Maybe he lost sight of his calling. Maybe he lost sight of what God called him to do. The story of Jonah in the Bible. I believe the story of Jonah is just an example. I believe there was a lot of Jonahs. I know there was a lot. Because God has such a heart for the world. God has such a heart for the world. We just have the story of Jonah. How God called Jonah to the Assyrian people, to Nineveh. But you think about it, those were pagan, godless people. People that hated God and hated his people. But God loved them so much. God said, Jonah, I want you to go there and save them. I believe the story of Jonah is just an example of many people that he called, but never went. Many people that he called and never went. Many people that were called to go preach to the heathen in Bible times, but they didn't go. Jonah was a missionary, but I wonder how many people more God called, but just didn't go. God hears the cries of those children. God hears the cries of the teenagers. God hears the cries of the teenagers. I want you to go with me quickly to Genesis 21. Genesis 21, 26. God hears the children, and God calls somebody. God hears those little kids and the Muslim nations. And you know, I remember Brother Howes teaching us when I was a child, Brother Howes would always say, the most important thing you'll ever learn in your life is how to go to heaven. And the second most important thing is that God has a will for your life, that God made you to do something. And I think of all those thousands and thousands, millions of children being born in the Muslim nations, and God has a plan for them. It's his plan for them that they become a Muslim someday. So God is definitely calling many missionaries to those areas. I see these videos. Every video I see, it's like, man, I want to go. I'll go, God. If you'll send me, I'll go. But God has called me to Mexico. God's called me to my field, and I'm staying where God has placed me. I have a calling. It wasn't for a burden. Well, that's, I'm just getting out of the way. Okay, there you are. Genesis. Wow, lost my thing. Yeah, Genesis 21:16. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. And she said, are you there? Genesis 21:16. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Now this is Ishmael. He's at this time probably about 14 years old. God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. God heard the voice of Ishmael. God called down to Hagar. And I wonder how many nations God hears the cries of the people. And they don't even know what they're crying for, who they're crying to. But God says, I know what you need. And God has called you to answer the call. God has called you. And listen, it doesn't matter if you're fat, skinny, tall, short, black, white, or whatever. God can use you. And God has made you to go to these places. And if God has called you somewhere, you follow through. Don't you let some girl get you sidetracked. Don't you let some other job get you sidetracked. You go through and do what God has called you to do. You do what God has called you to do. And while you're here, you get busy in the ministry. You work with people. There's people all in this area looking for someone to help them. There's people that are looking for someone that can guide them a little bit. Those hard teenagers, they just want someone to guide them. Amen. They want some leadership. That's why they go to the gangs. They want someone to give them some instruction, some leadership. It should be you. You can do it. You can do it. God can use you. God can use you this week, and God can use you today. You don't have to wait till you get out of here to be used of God. But God hears the cries of the teens. God hears the cries of the teens. There in our church in Mexico, we have two churches. We have Iglesia Bautista Monte Calvario, Iglesia Bautista Montesión. They're about half an hour apart. I preach our Sunday morning. I get up early, check all the vehicles, make sure they're ready. I drive a route. My wife drives a route. Some other people drive routes. Pick the people up, bring them to church, preach to them, Sunday school church, drop them off on the routes, and then we eat a short meal, and about 20 to 30 people accompany us to the second church that we started. We just started in January, brand new church. They'll go with us over there, and they'll help me as ushers and working the altar, and then we'll come back to the church, have our Sunday afternoon soul winning, have night church, and then drop off the other route. So Sunday morning, it's just, I learned that here. Just Sundays all day long serving God. But the teenagers, man, those kids are sharp. Kids are sharp as tacks. A lot of them, we reached them from kids, and now they're teenagers. And they're soul winners, and they're altar workers, and they're preachers, and they're teachers. Young people that have been reached through our ministry. We started Rondaya in our church. Some of you Spanish people know what that is. Several kids that play guitar. My son and my daughter are part of the Rondaya, but several young people that play the guitar. But these young people just need someone to guide them. But I wonder who's crying out, saying, where is he? Where is he at? Who in Chicago is saying, where is the comfort that's supposed to help me? God called you to help him, but what are you doing on Saturday? Remember, it's not the Dunkin' Donuts ministry. It's the bus ministry. Okay, it's not the mall ministry. It's the bus ministry. You go reach those children, you reach those teenagers, reach those families. My mom was a single mother. My mom was trying to raise kids in Chicago and teenagers and little kids. My mom was struggling. And I praise God that those lady workers came to our house. I'm glad that day they didn't call in sick. I'm glad that they didn't go to the mall or go who knows where. They came to our house and invited us to church and worked with us, and they loved us, and they helped us. And I'm here today because of those dear ladies and the bus captain that I had through the years. Where is he? Where's the one that's going to comfort them? Let's go back real quick to our text verse. Go back to our text verse. I love you guys. I want you to make it. You can make it. Nothing can stop you. The only one that can stop you is yourself. Nobody can stop you. You decide. You go. You say, I'm going to do God's will, what God has called me to do. Book of Lamentations, chapter 1. I'll tell you. Lamentations 1. Verse 16, once again. Lamentations 1:16. For these things I weep. Lamentations 1:16. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. Where is he? Where did he go? My children are desolate, because the enemy prevailed. He didn't make it. He didn't go. Maybe he was too comfortable. Maybe he went somewhere else. Maybe he is where he should have been, but not doing what he's supposed to do. Don't be guilty of that. You work while you're here. You get up on that route. You get in that Bible club. You get in whatever ministry, a sailor ministry, whatever ministry you're in, and you work hard. You reach those people. You train those people. You disciple those people. You love those people. Don't waste time redeeming the time because the days are evil. You learn. And you say, Brother Robert, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. God will use you greatly if you'll let him. Remember, it's God that does the work through us. We're just nobody. But God can do great things if you just let him work through you. The person here that the people least think is going to succeed will probably be the one that becomes the greatest pastor of the whole college. But you can do it. You can do it. It says here that he's far from me, the one that should leave my soul. And don't forget about the adults. I talked about the teens. Talked about the children. Don't forget about the adults. There's people looking for answers. I was out soul winning close to our church. And you understand, we're kind of in the poorer area of Guadalajara, kind of like gangland. We've had so many church members robbed. I've been robbed my cell phone. I've been had two people threaten me with a knife, but they haven't, didn't do anything to me. Just a real dangerous area. And nobody speaks English. Coming across an English-speaking person is just rare. But I was out soul winning by our church just a few blocks away and knocked on the door, had my usual spiel ready in Spanish, and started inviting him to the church. And he said, you speak English, man? Yeah, it blew me away. Yes, I speak English. He said, just speak to me in English. I got to talk to the guy. His name's Martin. And Martin got saved. And I invited him to church the first time. He didn't come. I'll go. I'll go to your church. And he didn't come. I invited him again. Didn't come. Invited his girlfriend to church. Didn't come. I left him for about a month. And I said, I'll go back and see that guy again. Go see Martin. Went to his house. And from the last time I'd seen him, his situation had changed. Martin now had all his brothers with him, living with him. And he said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. Since the last time you came, things have changed. My brothers had to come down because my father's going through some difficulties. Now my brother's here. And I was able to lead them all to Christ, and they all started coming to church. And Martin told me a story. He said, Pastor, I was trying to find a church here in Guadalajara. He said, I went to a church, a Pentecostal church. And he said, I went in, the pastor's walking around blowing on the people. He blew on you, you have to fall down. They fall down. He said, I told the pastor, please don't do that to me. No me soples así. So the pastor didn't do it. He said, on the other corner, there's a bunch of people regurgitating. I was going to say throwing up, this institution of higher learning, but a bunch of people regurgitating in the other corner. He said, what's that over there? Oh, they're getting rid of their evil spirits. He said, Pastor, I was there for 3 hours, and I didn't learn anything. Didn't learn anything. He said, Pastor, I went to your church for 2 hours, and I got so full of the truth, I'm going to keep going. I'll keep going. That's just an example of Martin. He has this thing, this crazy thing. He shakes your hand. He snaps his fingers. This is weird handshake. Some kind of California thing, I guess. Hand, finger. He started teaching our kids that in the church. Martin, what are you doing? But the world's full of people like that. They're just looking for the truth. They're looking in the wrong places. You have what they want. Even though they might not realize that you have what they want, and you go out and spread the truth. The Bible says that they're weeping. They're looking for the comforter, but the comforter's far away. Did he get sidetracked? Did he leave the ministry? Did he get too comfortable in Zion? Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. No, you get out of here, and you build a big work. You work for God, and you do what God has called you to do. If God has left you here, you work here as hard as you can, Highland, Hammond, Chicago, and you reach people the gospel, and God will do great things with all of you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. That'd be great.